Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's open our Bibles this evening to Luke chapter 8. In reading from verse 18, take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he thinks or seemeth to have. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we reverently approach thy throne of grace tonight, knowing that grace is still there for us, and if we walk in the light as you are in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ not only cleanses us from all sin, but it brings us into fellowship with you, Father. And Lord, we realize that this is the hour which you have come to be glorified in your saints. We know that this is the hour that the saints are to receive the very mind of their Father. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to take heed how we hear, as the Scripture saith, as Jesus said, that no man could deceive us by mere words, but Lord, by taking heed to thy word, that it might prepare us for the times ahead. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, from paragraph 70 of The Spoken Word is the Original Seed, Brother Branham said, the women wants to be active and bob off their hair and have waterhead haircuts, wear shorts, and look like the rest of the world. The preacher stands in the pulpit and practices their amens, and afraid of the word of God because of a meal ticket. If they can't ride a Cadillac, they're not even considered spiritual anymore. That's right. If they can't dress in the best clothes and do everything else, they're considered, well, they're backslid. They're not so-and-so. An old man back there, old Brother Kidd, told me this morning that they don't want him no more because he's old and he stays right with the word. What's the matter? They lack moisture. All right, and fell on, and others fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit. And when he said these things, he cried, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Oh, what a parable. How I would like to preach a text on that now, a sermon. When he said these things, the eighth chapter, the eighth verse, the eighth chapter, others fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he screamed out something like, maybe like this, when he said, bring forth a hundredfold. He that hath an ear, let him hear. In other words, if your ear is in tune with God, let him hear. You see? His disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. The mystery, see? See what he's talking about here. Now watch. What is the mysteries of the kingdom? Watch just a minute. Mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might see, might not see, and hearing they might not understand. See? But God's word comes right on down to the judgment to judge them, because they did see it. It was there. Now, the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Now, Brother Branham is reading from Luke chapter 8, where Jesus says in verse 18, take heed therefore how that you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Now in this translation we see the word take heed, therefore, how you hear. But we know that Jesus is not telling them to take heed how you hear, as if there is some other way that your ears can hear. Therefore, it's not the particular thing that they hear, but rather it is the manner in which they come to hear that he's warning them about. The Greek word that this was translated from means in what way you're hearing. Therefore, again, we hear Jesus say in Mark chapter 4, take heed in what manner you hear. And therefore, in the book of Luke, we hear him say, take heed in what way you hear. Therefore, this evening, I would like to speak on the subject, are your ears in tune with God? I want you to know that Brother Branham was speaking here from the parable of Christ in Luke chapter 8, where Jesus said, if you have ears that can hear, then listen to what I'm going to tell you. Brother Branham preached a message called Look. I think it was three sermons right after the seals. And he said, I'm going to preach on a word today, a simple word. It's the word look, L-O-O-K, look. He said, now we say the word look when we want you to see something that we see, but you're not seeing. So we say look, to get your attention, to look at the thing which we're looking at. And I thought it was interesting that he preached this right after the seals, because he preached the seals and people just didn't get it. Just didn't get it. Now, Brother Branham, in his audio letter to Brother Vail, he said, would it be you think advisable in here to say that God then, in order to proclaim this, has to send a prophet in order to inject this, to make this real again, to show the people the hour that we're living in? Because if they only see it in the hour past, then there's no hope for the church. The church must see it in the present tense. So God sends his prophet to manifest present tense of it. You see? And then after it's over, then history is. Now you might inject that, Brother Lee. I don't know whether that's any good or not, but it's just a thought right there. Thanks a lot. Therefore, it's important for us to understand that most people do not have ears that are in tune with God. Because it's very apparent that although they hear, they do not understand. Although they hear with their ears, they do not perceive what's going on in this end game that we're in right now. And yet, Brother Branham warned us. He told us what's coming. God spoke to Noah. He said, it's going to rain. Noah preached that it was going to rain. He preached the judgment for 120 years. He built on the ark almost all of that time. And yet, how many people entered the ark with Noah and his family? Zero, zip, nada. Not a person that heard his preaching for 120 years. Therefore, it's not just a matter of seeing or hearing with your ears or your eyes. But you must be able to see how that it affects you in this day. To just see the scriptures and to know what took place back 2,000 years ago, or back even 45 years ago, isn't enough. You must see how it applies for you in this day, if it's going to do you any good. Notice is that if the church only sees it in the past tense, then there's no hope for the church. God has presented his word in such a way that his word comes alive in each age to those who are truly born again by his word. To those who are looking for him to manifest himself, he does so as the living God. Jesus said, to those who are looking for me, he comes a second time. From the message, Anointed Ones at the End Time, Brother Branham said, for it is impossible for those which were once for all enlightened and didn't move on with the word of God as it come to pass, they're dead and they're gone. Now notice he said, if they do not see the word in the present tense, there's no hope for the church. And if they do not move on with the word as it comes to pass, they're dead. They're gone. Not after it's come to pass, as it's coming to pass. And he also said, all the New Testament speaks of this hour. Then if we also believe this, then we should know how it speaks of in this hour. And in being able to see how the New Testament speaks of this hour, not only gives the church hope, but also brings into view the reality of the living God. And the promise for the hour is made real. In other words, we see the word with a present tense view. Now, I do not believe that God is the God of the dead, but rather he is God of the living. He is the living God, and he's the living word. And if he is the living God, then that word must become alive to us if this is to do us any good. In Matthew 13 and verse 10, if you'd open your Bibles with me. And the disciples came, and they said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Now notice, they did not say, why do you speak to us in parables? But rather they said, why do you speak to them in parables? And up to this point, Jesus must have been pretty forthright with the apostles. And he must have spoken pretty straight to them. But they noticed that when he spoke to a mixed multitude, he used stories. He used parables. And they were asking him why he did that. And he tells them it's for the purpose of hiding from them what you or they, he says, were ordained to know and understand. because these people are not ordained to know. They're not ordained to understand. Verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, whosoever echoes, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Why? Because when you echo, it's over and over and over again. The Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see that in multiplying of the Word of God, we receive grace, we receive peace. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as His divine power. And what is the divine power? Well, divine is God's life. And He is the Word. And therefore the divine power is what Paul said in Romans 1:16, that the Word of God is a power of God unto salvation. Therefore through the instrument of God's Word hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And we will see the importance of how all things are working together for our good, and how that all things that are given represent the Word of God in our life. And we will see in the first this parable we're talking about tonight, the significance. Now, in getting back to Matthew 13 and 12, where Jesus says, but whosoever hath not, whosoever is not made in such a way as to echo the word, to reflect the word, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks that he's echoing. Therefore speak I to them in parables, but they seeing, see not. He tells us that they are able to look with their eyes, but they are not able to see with the eyes of their heart. And hearing, they hear not, he says. And although they are hearing with their ears, they are not able to listen, and therefore neither can they understand. How many people in the message, because I'm not talking to denominational people, I'm talking to message people. How many people in the message have all of Brother Branham's tapes? Or all of them on a disc? And haven't got a clue what he's saying on those tapes. Come on. People do not understand the great appearing of God in this hour. The spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him for the purpose of getting us ready for going home. They're still looking down the road. As Brother Branham said, they always miss Him by looking down the road or looking back and failing to recognize what God is doing right now. I'm not interested in what God is doing in 1960, 1965. I'm interested in what God is doing tonight, 2009, in my life, in your life. He's a living God, not a historical God. He says, neither do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart, the heart means understanding, so their understanding is waxed gross. And their ears, their ability to listen attentively, are dull of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed. Now what are the eyes? The eyes are the seers. The prophets, and they shut off the prophets. And they become blind Laodiceans. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes. Notice he said they shall see with their own eyes. Now, catch what he's saying here. He says these people are only looking through their own eyes. They are left to themselves. They won't look through the eyes of the prophet. Huh? Notice he said that they shall see with their own eyes, but catch it here. And hear with their ears. Notice their hearing is with their own ears, which tells me that the people cannot look with the eyes of God, nor do they hear with the help of God. And should understand with their heart. And notice the understanding is with their own hearts. And yet we have a promise of a new heart. But these people do not have a new heart. They do not have a new understanding because they are left up to their own heart or their own understanding. Brother Branham said, the new heart God gives you is a new understanding. And the new spirit, he said, is a new way of thinking based on that new heart or that new understanding. Now there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Man cannot get the right understanding by his own efforts. His own efforts will always take him further from the truth. There is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the way of death. Literally, man is incapable of knowing the things of God because the things of God are spiritually discerned. And you must have the Spirit of God to know the things that are freely given from God. Revelation of God's Word is a gift from God, and either He gives it to you or you are left on your own without it. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted. You see, if they were converted, they would not see with their own eyes, nor would they hear with their own ears, nor would they understand with their own heart. But they'd be looking through the eyes of God. They'd be seeing as God sees, hearing as God hears, understanding as God understands. And I should heal them, he says. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you are seeing right now, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. So unless we are given a new heart and a new spirit from God, there's no way for us to hear and understand what the kingdom of God is all about. In Ezekiel 36, verse 26, we read, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put into you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments, and you shall do them." Not you might think about it. If you've got this new heart, you're going to do it. You're going to think like God thinks. You're going to speak like God speaks. You're going to do them. Concerning this new heart and this new spirit, Brother Branham said in his message, Impersonation of Christianity, he says, so God had to give you a new heart, not a patched up one, a new heart. That's your intellect that you think with, a new way of thinking. Then after he said that, he said, then I'll give you a new spirit. What's that? A new desire. I want to do what's right. And then God said, I will give you my spirit. First, God gives you a new understanding. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. That's what he told Peter. God gives you that new understanding. Then that new understanding brings forth a new desire in your heart. And finally, God gives you of his own spirit and places it within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the anointing of God in you. The hope of doxa. The hope of having the very mind that was in Christ. Look, how else could you understand the things of God except that God places his spirit within you? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has entered into the heart or the understanding of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by how? His spirit. For the spirit, not just a spirit, not just your spirit, he said, for the Spirit, that's God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that's in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. So God gives you his Holy Spirit that you will know. Well, then how could people sit around for 20, 30 years and scratch their head and not know and say they're born again? Come on. Brother Branham said, you don't see a man where he's sitting there. He said that it doesn't take 20 years for the light to strike the person and to cause him to be born again. I don't care how long you strike the light on a rotten potato. It's not going to grow. It's rotten. You can strike the light all day long on a rock. It's not going to produce anything. It's not a seed. The Spirit which is of God that we might know. That's the key. We receive the Spirit of God that we might know the things of God. The things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. He can't know them. It says, neither can he know them. Why? because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We know what's going on in this end game. We know who's behind it all. It's confusion to the great financial minds. They see it coming, but they don't know who's pulling the strings. It's not, look, the Catholic Church has always sat behind the scenes. They're manipulating the strings of the Jews, of the financial Wall Street robber barons. They're manipulating the strings so that they can be the fall guy. Just like the Jews that manipulated the strings of Judas so that he could sell the life of Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And he became the fall guy. Oh yeah. Just like the Jews back then tried to make Rome the fall guy. This time Rome is making the Jews the fall guy. You see how it's working out. I don't say that to be bigoted, because those Wall Street Jews are not true Jews. They're reprobate concerning the faith. But it takes a mind that has been anointed from God to be able to see and hear the things that are freely given to us from God. But the natural man cannot see, nor can he hear, and neither can he understand. And so we see that Jesus used parables because they would be given in such a way that those who did not have the Spirit of Christ in them would not in any way, shape, or form be able to understand, be able to perceive, or have any clue as to what they really meant. And we find out that Jesus, in Jesus' own words in Matthew 13, that he is asked about his use of the parables. He tells them that he uses them so that those who are not ordained to see will not be able to get it. And those who are ordained to get it, they will get it. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 10, he says, "And when he was alone, they that were about with him, with the 12, they asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without," the Greek word there is exo, which means outside or those on the outside, "all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Therefore we must be careful how we are hearing. And we must be careful in what manner we are hearing." In fact, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, verse 24, we hear Jesus warn the people to be careful in what manner they are hearing or listening. "And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." Now the word "what" was translated from the Greek word, which does not mean "what" as though it is speaking of a particular thing that you're hearing, but rather it means in what manner you are hearing. Therefore, a better rendering would be "take heed in what manner that you are hearing. For with what you use to measure it out, that is what will be given to you." In other words, what measuring instrument you are using to measure what you're hearing is the way you're going to hear it. So when the gullible of the people, the gullible people in this age, the Laodicean who are blind and miserable and naked, but think that they're rich and increased with goods, don't realize they might be have a lot of goods, but they also owe a whole lot of money. The average American has $40,000 in credit card debt. And there's a whole bunch of people out there that have about 80, because I don't have any, my family don't have any. And you, many of you brothers don't have any. So there's a whole bunch of people out there. They got $80,000 in credit card debt. They're slaves to the lender. "Therefore, a better rendering would be, take heed in what manner you're hearing. For with what you use to measure it out, that's what you're going to hear." In other words, Jesus is telling them that the way that they come to hear is the way that they will hear. Like Brother Brown said, what you come looking for, that's what you're going to get. In other words, Jesus is telling them that the way that they come to hear is what they're going to hear. Therefore, his warning was not to be careful about the actual thing that they were hearing, but the attitude in which they came to hear. He's not saying, be careful, be careful, you might hear something that might just do you in. No, he's saying, be careful the way you're listening. Are you listening to understand? Are you listening to grow? Are you listening to get right with the Lord? Or are you just listening to find fault? Or are you just listening because it's a religious thing to do? How do we listen to the tapes? Are we listening to get a right atmosphere? To grow? To create the right atmosphere in the home? To change us? Or are we listening to find something that might help us to have something over somebody else? People use the message and the gospel for their own reasons. I knew a man one time, he searched and searched and searched and searched the scripture because I told him not to divorce his wife. And he searched and searched and searched and searched, until he found a place where the king, Azariah, had divorced his wife because she disobeyed him. So that was good enough for him. Well, all I can say, sovereignty, God is sovereign. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will answer for everything done in the flesh. You will not get by. You will not get by. Everything you say, it will be played back. Everything you do, I don't care how many lights you've turned off, it'll be played back. The only way out of it, Brother Brown said, is to get right now. To apply the blood of Jesus Christ right now and to make it right right now. And that means if you have sinned against another person, you need to make it right with that person. If you have spoken evil or harsh words about someone, you need to make that right with that person. Believe me, I've done it many times. Because I got a temper sometimes. And if I'm pressed in a corner, I'll say something. And then the Holy Spirit will be on my case until I go make that thing right. That's right. In other words, Jesus is telling them that the way they come to hear, that's what they're going to hear. Therefore, he's warning us not to be careful about the actual thing that we're hearing, but the attitude in which we come to hear. For the attitude in which they come will either cause them to go away blessed or cause them to go away cursed. Remember, he said, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, you will be blessed. But if you do not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And what does it mean to hearken? Adam, what does it mean to hearken? Okay. Anyone want to add to that? In which way? All right. Not only to pay attention to, but to desire to pay attention to. Your motive is right. Okay. Anybody else want to add to that? Huh? For the purpose of understanding. And what else? Yeah.
So that your actions can follow accordingly.
All right. So that the output. In other words, look. Brother Branham said, he said, my ministry is different from most preachers. He said, you know, they see a text, they preach it. He said, my ministry is based on I sit back and I watch. I look for motives. I look for people's objectives and their motives. And when I see those motives, he said, I know what spirit is governing that motive. God says, if you hearken to my voice, if you pay attention, if your motive is right, because your desire is right, because you want to do right, you will be blessed. But you can hear the voice of God every day of your life and don't hearken to it. you will not be blessed. But these curses shall come upon you, and they shall overtake you. What are some of those curses? You shall become the borrower, not the lender. You shall become the tail, not the head. The foreigner shall come upon thee and overtake thee and be your ruler. What do you think is happening to America? 50 years ago, one jubilee ago, 1956, a jubilee ago, she had her jubilee, 1906 Azusa Street, 1956, a jubilee. And what did she do? She had the ear pierced. She had the awl driven in her ear, so she could not hear the word of the Lord any longer. And Brother Brown said, I predict in 1956 that America will reject the gospel. So what happened? 50 more years comes. And she is now, because she had the awl pierced, she has become the slave for life. For life. And now the next 50 years is permanent. This nation, no way, shape, or form can ever get out of the bondage she has put herself into, the financial bondage. So who comes along? Mr. Superman. He says, you know, I have enough gold in my back pocket to buy up all your paper. What are they trying to do now? They're trying to auction off the paper, aren't they? You realize how close we are? You realize that the rapture could take place this spring? And that auctioning off could begin sometime very soon, because they're trying to auction off the papers right now. They're trying to get the banks to buy up $1 trillion worth of bad debt. I thought that's what the first $700 billion was for, to buy up the bad debt. What did they do with that? They piddled it away. They stored it up in their little banks. They gave it to themselves in bonuses. They cheated the American people. The American people got exactly what they asked for. They wanted this reprobate in the White House. They've got him. He's not even an American citizen. The foreigner has become the ruler. Deuteronomy 28 has become fulfilled. It's no longer the curses looking for them to come. They're here. They are here. They are now getting ready to auction the debt. The paper. The paper. And we know that Rome will cut a deal. When is it going to happen? This spring at the G20 conference? Is it going to be in Mexico? Mexico, I think. Somewhere in or Brazil. When is it going to happen? Next year? They had to make sure the paper got lower and lower and lower. A year ago, $100 trillion worth of wealth, paper. Because who has the gold? You see, Rome has the gold. But Rome's, say, $10 trillion worth of gold. Maybe it's more. Maybe it's 20. Maybe it's 50. We don't know how much it is. But here you have $100 trillion worth of wealth. Here you have maybe, let's say, $20 trillion worth of gold. This 20 can't buy 100, can it? So let's reduce the worth of the paper. Now it's only worth half, $45 trillion. We're getting closer. Now if gold can go to $5,000 an ounce, then that $20 trillion will be worth $100 trillion. And if we can get the paper to go a little bit lower, like maybe the stock market to about 4,500, which it normally has been throughout history. That's the normal range. Now, your 1,000 goes down to 4,000. So you reduce that 45 trillion down to 22.5 trillion, and you've got 100 trillion. You can not only buy up all the debt of the world, but all of the countries as well. The 13 or 11 trillion the U.S. has, oh, peanuts. All the other countries probably don't even add up to that number. You see how they can own everyone, every country, every company. You go to work one day and they say, wait a minute, you don't go to the Catholic Church or one of her sister churches. Sorry, you can't work here. Unless you have the mark, they won't tell you it's a mark. But you can't buy or sell. You see where we're getting to, how close we are. How very, very close we are. Take heed how you've been listening to the message. Has it been with an interest that, oh, God sent a prophet, hallelujah. Maybe I'll learn how to do some miracles. Or is it, why does he send warning before judgment? You see, how have you been perceiving the message? What are you listening to the message for? What are you getting out of it? The people that didn't pay attention to Moses' message, they perished in the wilderness. Oh, they came out of denomination. They came out of organization. They came out of Egyptian organization. But they perished anyway. They didn't enter in. Only two that came out of 2 million, entered in. We've got 2 million people in the message today. How many are going to make it? I'm not saying just two. But I'm saying it's going to be very few. Very few are going to be ready when the rapture takes place. Very few will be ready when one of these evenings or perhaps a morning service will be standing here in the resurrected saints. You may see one come through the door, maybe Brother Branham himself, who knows. Just like the early church, they saw the resurrected saints. They had to realize that he that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. The attitude in which they came to hear, for the attitude in which they come will either cause them to go away blessed or cause them to go away cursed. Because the word is a two-edged sword. It cuts coming, it cuts going. And if people come to the word with their minds already made up, that is what they will go away with as well. In Deuteronomy 28, we see that the attitude that the people take towards the word of God will either bring them blessing or the same word will bring them cursing. They will be blessed if they take it into their heart and believe it and live it. But if they turn their hearts from it, that same word will then become a curse to them. Therefore, when Jesus is warning us that we must be careful how we approach the word, he is not giving us any new advice. This is the same thing that God the Father told us back in the book of the two laws, Deuteronomy. And what are those two laws? Blessing and cursing. And both come by the same word. It all depends on what you do with it and how you approach it. You see, if you let the message become common to you, the Bible says fools will walk with hobnailed shoes where angels fear to trod. Therefore, when Jesus is warning us that we must be careful how we approach the word, he's not giving new advice. He's giving us the same advice his Father gave. If you come with your mind already made up, it's a curse to you. If you come with an open mind and an open heart, then the word will bring life to you. Again, we find Jesus giving the same warning in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 18. We're coming full circle where we began today. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Now, in this translation, we see the words, take heed, therefore, how you hear. But we know that Jesus is not telling them to take heed how you hear, as though there is some other way that you can hear with your ears. Therefore, again, we see it is not the particular thing that they're hearing, but rather the manner in which they have come to hear that he's warning them about. The Greek word that was translated from it means in what way. Therefore, again, we see in Jesus say, take heed in what manner you hear. And as Brother Branham said, don't ever let this message become common to you. Take heed how you're listening to those tapes. Take heed how you're listening to the message. So we see the importance of punctuation. Be careful how you hear, because the filter that you use to hear will also determine what you are getting out of what you're hearing. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 to 4, would to God that you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, you put up with it so easily enough. Notice Paul was worried about the people because they did not take seriously enough every word of God. Their attitude towards the word was too commonplace. They got slack with it, and they began to leave off from the word. And we see that when they began to become slack, then men who were able to enter in among them actually to turn them away from the truth and turn them towards fables. As we see in 2 Timothy 4, verse 4 to 8, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto stories. Tell us a story, Brother Branham. So we see that even before the first church age was completed, the people had already begun to fall for ministers who were presenting to them another Jesus, a different Jesus than the one Paul had brought to them. And we find that this brings with it another gospel and another spirit. And we know this word another is a Greek word heteros, which means of a different nature. And since we are told in 2 Peter 1, verse 3 to 4, that the word of God gives us all that pertains unto life, and we receive God's own nature through his word, because he said, my words are spirit and they are life. And so we see that to receive the very nature of God, by receiving the very life of God that is released from his word through the revelation of the word. And then if we hear and receive a word which is different in nature from the one he has truly given to us, then we will be receiving a different nature than the one that is in truth, his nature. And what other nature could that be than that which is perverted? And that's exactly what he said in Galatians 1, verse 6 to 9. He said, they've received a perverted gospel. Thus, they've received a perverted spirit. America is a perverted nation. She says she's Christian, but she lives like the devil. The Bible says in Revelation, she looks like a lamb, but she speaks like the dragon. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we recognize, Lord, the dire situation this country is in. Men of reprobate minds concerning the truth have usurped the pulpits and have brought the people to a malaise of sleeping, slumber, folding of the hands. And so we see that this nation has fallen asleep and that foreigners have come in and taken over. Deuteronomy 28 has been fulfilled. The blessing upon this nation has turned to a curse. Father, we pray that you would deliver your bride and not let us be part of the curse which is coming down upon this nation, even as Israel was tucked away in Goshen, safe from the curses which are falling upon Egypt. And so we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Help us, Father, to be ready to have the token applied in every home, that every family would fall under that token and be saved by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. the brothers would bring forth the elements at this time. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 13 for communion.